ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. ത്രിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സുഹു ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദ All All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namah Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarini. Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ലീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോ സവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥ സ്വന്നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിന്ദനം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാ ഇതരത അർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യസൂരയ തേജോവാരി മൃദം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാനാസ്വേന സദാ നിരസകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേ എത്ര കൃതിമി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാം നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാത് അമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോത്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാദരമാജ്ജുഭാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരബുദ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കൊണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം നാഖനി കാവി 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 നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಣಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶಃ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗತೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾಧೀ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಷಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಲಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣು ಶ್ಯಾಮಲೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಕ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರತೋ ಮಮ. ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. Situation with the person who has reached the state of liberation while within this body. What happens to a person, someone who has realized the self, or who has realized the identity, self-identity as the soul, how he relates with this world? This is what we were talking about, isn't it? Dehastho vina dehastha. That although he is within the body, he is outside the body. This is the important thing. Dehastobi na dehasta. He is dehasta, but he is not dehasta. He is already in the body. The soul is within the body, but he has left the body. Yathar sapno sapna yathotidaha. Just like when you wake up from the dream state to the wakened state, how you come out of your dream body back to the waking body. In the Jagrat state, how you leave the dream body and come back to the waking body, woken condition, the Jagrat body. Exactly like that Krishna is saying there, that dehastobina dehastha yadar sapna yadotidaha. Then adehastobina dehastha. Another person who is already left the body, but he doesn't want to leave the body. He wants to stay within the body again. He doesn't want to go away from there. This soul science of Bhagavadam, not only Bhagavadam, it is a science of Upanishads, it's a science of Bhagavad Gita, it is the most scientific thing, scientific in the sense that it extraordinary logic and reasoning presents to you the science of our existence in this world, and that is why it makes it so interesting. Like when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavadam, they are not different. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, practically speaking, there is not much difference. The knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is the same in the knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavadam. Only difference in the Bhagavadam is that the philosophy Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has presented to us through great personalities who followed that route and showed us how to make the progress in that direction. That is Bhagavadam. So, when you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will find so many interesting things, very, very interesting things. Only thing, you have to put some time and energy to read through Bhagavad Gita and understand the message, how absolute Krishna's words are, and how these law can never be touched by anyone. Nobody can change it, because by the very creation itself and by laying these fundamentals of the human nature, human body, the other living entities, the material world, Krishna has already laid out a plan, and this world will only run according to that plan. Nobody can change it. That is Krishna's plan. We can try to mess around with it a lot, but eventually it will all fail. There's nothing going to work. So Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, just to give an example, that there are so many things in Bhagavad Gita which comes up again and again. But by reading Bhagavad Gita, sometimes you wonder that the amount of knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita which Krishna has spoken to Arjuna in such a short time in the battlefield of Kurukshetram, that he has to pack everything in a very short time. An interesting thing is, many people heard Bhagavad Gita. It's not only Krishna and Arjuna has heard Bhagavad Gita. You can imagine, in the middle of battlefield, when it's spoken, there were others as well there. Both Kauravas were there, the Pandavas were there, their armies were there. It's not that they didn't hear anything, they all heard. But why nothing has happened to them? This question will come, isn't it? That is the potency of Bhagavad Gita. There's one person who heard Bhagavad Gita sitting on Arjuna's chariot. He is Anjaneya Swami, Hanumanji. He heard Bhagavad Gita. Who else heard Bhagavad Gita? Krishna spoke. Anjaneya Swami heard Bhagavad Gita. Then Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita. There was one more person who heard Bhagavad Gita. Who was that? Dhritarashtra also heard Bhagavad Gita. Now, three personalities have all heard Bhagavad Gita. But according to the Acharyas, the only personality who actually understood Bhagavad Gita without even explanation is Anjaneya Swami, nobody else. Arjuna didn't understand. So therefore, these three personalities are also put into three categories. Anjaneya Swami, Hanumanji is first class listener. Arjuna has asked some questions, isn't it? So he is in the middle class. Dhritarashtra heard Bhagavad Gita, nothing has happened. Like us, nothing has happened. We also heard, but nothing has happened. We continue doing the same thing, no change. Our policies are fixed. We can't change. Don't beat me, uncle, I'm not going to change. This is our attitude. So, Anjaneya Swami, at one point when Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita, he was sitting on the flag of Arjuna, isn't it? He came down. And he started explaining himself, everything. He was so intelligent. Anjaneya Swami's explanation was so intelligent. Krishna says to Anjaneya Swami, this is not the right thing to do. When some two people are talking, you're coming and in between and jumping in. So therefore he told Anjaneya Swami that whatever you have understood and whatever you are going to speak, it's not going to stay in this world. And therefore Anjaneya Swami, after leaving Kurukshetram, he wrote, because normally who does, they are called Pishacha. Pishacha means devil, who does things like this. Devil appears from nowhere and starts speaking and goes away at its own. But everything what he spoke was so perfect that he had the deep understanding, realization already there, what Krishna was speaking. The importance of the soul, the self-realization was already there, 100% in Anjaneya Swami. So therefore, when he spoke, Krishna says to him, you will write a commentary on this, which is the first commentary on Bhagavad Gita in this world, but that commentary will not stay in this world. And that is called Paishajika Bhashyam. Paishajika Bhashyam of Anjaneya Swami exists, but nobody has a copy of it, even today. So it is such a famous commentary on Bhagavad Gita from Anjaneya Swami. Why? Because when Krishna was speaking, you must remember, Krishna hasn't spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna till now, till that battlefield. He wasn't ready for it. Arjuna wasn't ready for it. So the right time has to come. Arjuna has to be ready for it. And Arjuna has to take that relationship with Krishna in the form of surrender. So many things required. We'll see that later. But Anjaneya Swami wrote this commentary on Bhagavad Gita called Paishajika Bhashyam, which never came into prominence. And later on, other Acharyas came and commented on Bhagavad Gita, which we have hundreds and thousands of commentaries. Of course, the prominent commentaries are there on Bhagavad Gita. So, this Bhagavad Gita is the most subtle science of human life. If it is understood, if it is practiced, it will do enormous good for the human society. But if we ignore it, we have to pay a heavy price for it also. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in two instances, if this is only an example, I am saying this. In the third chapter, as well as in the 18th chapter, Krishna repeats one verse. I don't know whether you have noticed this. If you are reading Bhagavad Gita, you will come across all these things. Shrayan su dharmo vigunal paradharmal sunushtidal. That is the first two lines of this verse. It is in the third chapter, as well as the same verse appears again in the 18th chapter. Shrayan su dharmo vigunal paradharmal sunushtidal. And in the third chapter, Krishna says, Sodharma nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. Sodharma nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha, Krishna says. And in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Sobhavam nidham kurvan, nidham karmam kurvan natnodi kilbisham. Sobhavam nidham karmam kurvan natnodi kilbisham. These are the verses. The first two lines are same, the last two lines are different. What Krishna is pointing out there is that Bhagavad Gita is based on Varnashrama Dharma, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is based on Varnashrama Dharma. Krishna says there, Shrayan su dharmo viguna paradharmal sunushtidal. If you one executes one sodharmam, it's always better than executing paradharmam, somebody else's dharma. This is a very, very deep subject, this is. The subject is very deep and the time is too short. So therefore, it requires a lot of reflection on all these verses. Krishna is saying there, it is better to execute one's own dharma rather than executing somebody else's dharma. And he wants there, Sodharma nidham karma paradharma bhayavaha. He says, if you execute your own dharma, even if it is executed in a wrong way, if it's not done in a perfect way, it is better to do that than doing something paradharma bhayavaha. If you do something else which is not your dharma, if you execute that, it is frightening, Krishna says. Now if you look into the commentaries of Bhagavad Gita, you will find that Srila Prabhupada's commentary also says that it is one should execute one's dharma, not somebody else's dharma. He warns there. Then again in the 18th chapter, Krishna says that Sobhavam neva karma kurvannatnodi kilbisham. Sobhavam, one's Sobhavam neva karmam. It decides the karma of a person. Kurvannatnodi kilbisham. If you execute somebody else's dharma, it is sinful. Now, most of you have read Bhagavad Gita. Some of you have probably attended some retreats and seminars and Bhakti Shastri and all that. Has ever been taught about this? Why Krishna is saying this, like this? It's an important thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is full of mysteries. Bhagavad Gita is considered to be the most mysterious literature in this world. And if you understand these mysteries and the Bhagavad Gita, it makes you wonder that how can human society leave Bhagavad Gita and act independently? We are paying the heavy price for it, for that. That Krishna is saying there, Shrayan so dharmo viguna, when Krishna executed Chaturvarnyam and Ashramam in the society, it has come from Krishna. Krishna had a purpose behind it. And such so many subtle ideas behind it, how keeps the whole society in track, not allowing the society to go crazy. Today we want everything, but we can't have everything because Krishna restricts everything. So we have problems. How to live a life without being disturbed and in a peaceful condition in this world, that's what Krishna is talking about. So Krishna says there, Shrayan su dharmo vigunal paradharmal sunishtidal. And Krishna is also saying there, that Sodharma nidharam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. He says, if you do your duty, even if it's not done perfectly, it is better than doing somebody else's duty perfectly because it's frightening, he says. This is an important point. Very, very important.
Today in the modern world, all spiritual institutions have problem because of this. Because they have rejected, they have not taken this seriously. Paradharma bhayavaha, Krishna says it's frightening. Why it's frightening? That's the question to ask. Reason is this. When we come to this world, anywhere, we take birth in different bodies, in different places, under different parentage. What has prompted that to happen? To happen in that way? It didn't happen automatically like this. There must be a reason behind it. It is those reasons that's important. That is bringing us into this world, and whatever that has been decided at that point, when that purpose is served, the body will disappear from here. The body will disappear. We don't know this law. We don't understand and we don't want to accept these things. We think that we are the people who make all major decisions and we will run the show. And there the problem started already. But Krishna is saying there that while we have come to this world, the very cause of coming to this world, what is known as prarabdha vasana, prarabdha karmam or prarabdha vasana. So karma vasanas are that, I hope you understand what karma vasana means. Karma vasana means whenever we do anything in this world, any activity, immediately in our subtle body a line is drawn. This is called in the Shastram as vritti. It's called vritti. When the same work is repeated many times, if you do same thing again and again, and as soon as you enter into activity in karmam, what happens? Immediately there will be ragam, kartrutvam will come first, I am the doer, will come first. The next thing to follow that is, I want to be the enjoyer, the result will come. These are the two things, isn't it? Everybody does work in this world with these two things in mind. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. It is generally said like that. But when I say I am the enjoyer means I am looking for results to come from my work. Nobody works free in this world, isn't it? Now we see that more in the spiritual life, more than anywhere else. So Krishna is saying that these things, I am the doer and I am looking for the results, phalecha it's called. These two things are already there. When these two things are there, two more things comes from that. What is that? Ragam and dvesham. Because as soon as you are looking for results, there will be other people who don't want to give you the results. But your attachment is so strong for the results, with the result that it will be ragam. It is known as ragam. Ragam means attachment. Attachment for the results will come. If you don't get the results, then you will react to that, and that is known as aversion. Ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. So these four things, I am the doer, I need the results, I have the attachment, I have the aversion. All these four things are coming from karma. And karma will create these things in us, and that will stay in the form of a vritti inside. It's called vritti. Now, when we keep on repeating this karma in this world, it turns into what is known as chitta vritti. The vritti becomes a samskar then. That's when vritti becomes, that line what you have drawn, the same thing if you keep repeating the work, it develops very strong inside, and that becomes what is known as a samskaram in us. Once it has become a samskaram, that samskar has to fructify. It cannot go without. It has to fructify. That means we have to accept a body. There is no other solution to it. Once vritti has happened, that is why the science of karma and karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita is such a thought-provoking subject. So many great personalities has discussed karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, but karma yoga's importance is here. Karma is something which you cannot walk out from there. That also won't work. Why? You have come here with all these vasanas, so karma has to be done. It is pushing you to do that. Now, while executing this karma in this world, as we have come here to do that, because vasanas have come with us, karma vasana as it is called, karma vasana requires to be fulfilled, that karma, therefore one has to engage in karma. One cannot withdraw from karma. One has to engage in karma, and that karma vasana should burn. And once the karma vasana goes away, it is finished. Then that vasanas won't disturb you. It is for that purpose we have been sent here. Krishna's arrangement, material nature is arranged in such a way that we have been sent here to execute this karmam and fulfill this vasanas, karma vasanas. And that based on those vasanas, in the society, Krishna has made the divisions. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The four divisions have come on that basis. Now Krishna is saying there that based on these vasanas, they will fall into one of these four categories. Isn't it? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And Krishna also says that these are the qualities of the Brahmana, these are the qualities of the Kshatriya, these are the Vaishya, these are the Shudras. Now, what applies to Brahmana don't apply to Kshatriya or a Vaishya. And what applies to Vaishya doesn't apply to Brahmana, the other way also. So, Krishna says there, Brahmana must work based on these qualities, isn't it? He says, based on these qualities, that quality is that keeps him as a Brahmana. Nothing else. It's just that quality is in the person. And Vaishya must work with these qualities. And what's allowed for Vaishya is not allowed for Brahmana. A Brahmana means truthfulness, first thing. No duplicity. Straightforward. No, Krishna says so much simplicity. Krishna says all the qualities explained in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. Now, it is those qualities that is important as far as Krishna is concerned. And that decides the person's the varnam. Varnam is decided on that basis. So, a person who has... There are contradictions here. For example, a Brahmana is always supposed to speak truth and completely truthful in life. A Kshatriya, because he is a king, he is allowed diplomacy. Brahmana is not allowed diplomacy and cheating. Kshatriya is allowed. When it comes to a Vaishya, he is allowed a lot more cheating and lying. He's allowed that because that is his business. His business is to provide for the society, to create the wealth, and that is his duty. He has to do that. Prabhupada also says there that every businessman lie in this world. No businessman tells the truth. If he is doing saying the truth, his business won't last for a day. It'll go. So businessman has to speak the lie and has to play the game and has to create wealth in that way. That is allowed for him. He is a Vaishya, is allowed. But if a Brahmana start doing the same thing, then he is not a Brahmana anymore. What keeps him away from these other three is his this quality of being a truthfulness, simplicity, then and honesty, no hypocrisy, everything straightforward, and living for the benefit of the rest of the world, for which Krishna rewards them after leaving this body, for the sacrifice they have made for the welfare of the world. This is what Brahmana's qualities are. Now, a Vaishya is allowed certain things. He is given the freedom to work in his own way, to do the business or what. Krishigorakshavanijam, Vaishyakarma Sabhavajam, all those things are there. But not to complicate it too much, Krishna keeps it very simple. Because the more complex the business activities become, the more cheating and lying happens there. That means you fall more from your spiritual position. So anyway, so what happens now? What Krishna is saying here is, Shreyam so dharmo viguna paradharmal sanushtidal. Say a Brahmana says, I will do the job of a Vaishya. Krishna says, no, don't do that. And similarly, Swabhava neda karma kurvan natno di kilbisham. Krishna says, if you start exchanging your position mutually, and one starts thinking, I can do that job better, I can be a good Brahmana, I'll do it better. But all his vasanas inside are Vaishyas or Shudras vasana. Inside vasanas are Vaishyas and Shudras. So what will happen? What will happen is, when he starts putting his thread on and shikha and kurta and all that, and start presenting himself as a Brahmana in this world, the propensity is inside us all vasanas coming from the Vaishya or Shudra nature. And what will happen is, he will never be able to do justice to that job what he has undertaken. This is why Krishna is saying, paradharmo bhayavaha. It is frightening. Because by doing that, you not only put yourself in a difficult situation, but put many others in a very awkward condition. This will be the result of that. Shayan, so these words are why did this one issue is a very important issue. That in the modern spiritual world, you see all sorts of people has taken up the responsibility of the leading spiritual institutions and driving others in spiritual life. But if the vasanas in the person are coming from a different varnam, and if they drive others also in the same way, where will the spiritual life will be? You have to think this question. If you don't think about it, and you simply act saying that, oh, he is advanced, he is a devotee, he knows everything, but the vasanas are all coming from the third or the fourth varnam. So this is an important point. That's why Krishna is saying there twice. He repeated in the Bhagavad Gita this thing, because he finds that this will happen. He knew about it. Because he knew about it, he repeatedly stressed this point. Shrayanso dharmo vigunal paradharmal sanishtidal. Even if you execute as a Vaishya or a Shudra, whatever that has come to you by providence, that by the nature's arrangement, whatever varnam one is acting is varnam. If you execute that in that way, it is better to do that than rather than taking up the position or taking up the, because the vasanas are not there. The vasanas are not inside. If you go and do that without having that qualities inside, what will happen? What will happen is that you may present some things which may not be, for which you are, yourself are not living up to it. This is the sad situation. And because people are not thinking these things, they are just carried away by the show in this world, what goes on. They are satisfied with that. The show must go on. But show doesn't help here. Somebody comes and tells me, oh, the class was very nice. It doesn't mean anything. Except that if something has come benefited from the class, then it's worthwhile. Otherwise, what's the point? So this is how modern spiritualism is going on in this way. That everything is a show. Show, nothing but show. And they think the show is going on, everything is wonderful. Everybody is going back to Godhead. Everybody. You ask anyone, they'll all say, you're all going back. They're so convinced about that. But when Krishna is saying this, Shreyanso dharmo vigunal paradharmal sonushtidal sudharma nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. It is better to execute one's duty, what's been given to us by our varmavasanas, what we have got in this world, better to do that. And paradharmo bhayavaha, doing someone else's dharmam is frightening. Krishna says it's frightening. Bhayavaha, that's the word Krishna has used. Again, Krishna repeats that in the 18th chapter. Sudharma niyadam karma kurvannapnodi kilbisham. So that niyadam, niyadi means destiny. According to destiny, you have received something in this world to be satisfied with that. Sudharma niyadam karma kurvannapnodi kilbisham. If you do something else for which you haven't got the right vasanas inside, you will not only create problem for yourself, but you will create problem for others as well. Now, another question here. Why does that Krishna stress this point very strongly? Because when we come here and execute karmam based on our karma vasana, we are supposed to purify, because that vasana runs away when we execute the work, isn't it? The vasana goes away by executing that particular work. If you don't do that, with all these other vasanas inside, you go and do the duty of somebody else, what will happen is, this will develop in the form of a cover around the soul. Because the vasanas have not gone away. That thing becomes thickened inside. So instead of getting purified, karma is only done for purification. That's the goal of karma. Karma yogam, it becomes purification. But on the other hand, if you build a wall around the soul, much thicker and thicker all the time, instead of chitta shuddhi means purification of one's consciousness, instead of that happening, what will happen? The other things will happen. You not only didn't get purified, but by executing a wrong position, which you are not in, you are not qualified for, you have created another shield around you by wrongly acting in the wrong way, not knowing how to act in that condition properly. Brahminical culture survived in this world. Great, great personalities. If you look into the history, you will see that truthfulness in them, that simplicity in them, that straightforwardness in them. This is what people admired them for. It doesn't matter where it was, everywhere. So that quality is important. Krishna gives so much importance. He says, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Brahmanas and cows are respected for this reason. Cows are Krishna's. Brahmanas and cows, Krishna worships them. And later on you will see in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna talks about the Varnashrama Dharmam, he gives again, stresses this point very well. But in the modern world, because we have no proper system of Varnashrama Dharmam, what has happened is that it's all driven by money, isn't it? Money drives everything. So anyone who is smart making money or collecting money, he drives everything. Like industry, it goes. Industry is driven by money. So spiritual life is also driven by money. Family life is also driven by money. Everything is driven by money. And then we want everything perfect also. How is that possible? That's not possible, is it? There is a where we have to draw a line between money and the other things in life. Other things are all Maya's activity. This is Krishna's side. When we want to become realize Krishna consciousness, we need to understand these deep-rooted things in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly what is spoken in the second chapter where Krishna begins all these things from. So it's been quite a while that wanted to discuss the second chapter, because as I mentioned before, second chapter is nothing but Upanishads. Upanishads knowledge has come condensed to form in the second chapter. There is Kathopanishad, there is Kenopanishad, there is Chandokyam, there is Shvetashvara, different major Upanishads have all come into the second chapter. So all the Upanishads knowledge, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that's all combined is Ekadasha Skanda. Knowledge is not different. It's all spoken in three different ways. That's all it is. In Upanishads, in little bit in a higher level it's spoken. In the Bhagavad Gita, to make understand Arjuna, it was spoken in one way. And in Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna spoke in a little different way, knowing Uddhava's position. So in three different places, the same knowledge was spoken in three different ways. But because Bhagavad Gita is the key literature, Bhagavad Gita is the key literature for us, and particularly the second chapter is an important chapter, we wanted to discuss that, and we could have done that in 5 days, from Monday to Friday in 3 weeks' time. So 15 days time we require to discuss this second chapter. And when you discuss this second chapter, because second chapter, as Prabhupada summarizes that, as the contents of Bhagavad Gita summarize, there are so many things which we may not take note of, or while reading it, or if it's not spoken in depth, it may not catch our attention. So because we didn't do that, I felt that it is worthwhile doing that now. So I asked the management said no, so we have decided to do it somebody else's house. So we are planning to do this from 14th of September to 2nd of October, and it's in Barnet, and those who are interested, they are welcome to come. We will have it from morning, early morning we want to do this, because the subject is very deep and the time is too short. And morning hours, our receptivity is better than any other time during the day. So we thought about this and felt that probably between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning, between 4 and 6 in Barnet, from 14th of September, for 3 weeks, we will have the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. As depth as possible, we'll discuss verse by verse. And hopefully in 3 weeks' time, whoever listens may get something from that. That's my hope. And it will make Ekadasha Skandam a lot easier. We have a lot of misunderstanding about spiritual life. And if second chapter is understood properly, this misunderstanding and misgivings will go. Because misunderstanding and misgivings have come to us. We brought with us a lot and we collected a lot from this world. This is how it was generated within us. Krishna has, seeing Arjuna's situation in the Kurukshetram, Krishna spoke straightforward in the first verses starting from 10 onwards, very straightforward to Arjuna. Arjuna, this is the truth. And after hearing that chapter, Arjuna started realizing it is that chapter that turned Arjuna's mind. Up to that point, Arjuna thought he knew everything, like we are all thinking. He also thought the same thing. He knew everything. And not only that, he started instructing Krishna how bad he is that he is creating this war. And Arjuna's Bhagavad Gita to Krishna before that. In the first chapter you can see that. Arjuna speaking his Gita, Arjuna Gita to Krishna. So after, Krishna had to tolerate all these things. And after that only Krishna decided, now is the time that I better speak the truth to Arjuna. But there are certain reasons. Arjuna is a great personality. That's why Krishna chose Arjuna to speak Bhagavad Gita to him. So Arjuna, at that point, how the shift happens. Up to that point, it was friend and well-wisher and all kind of things. At that point, Arjuna surrenders and says, I am your, instruct me what is right and wrong. And we are all in the same situation in this world, sometime or the other. Bhagavad Gita is not something up there in the air. It's for our life in this world, very world where we are living. That is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. If we do not take that Bhagavad Gita inside and change the life on the basis of Bhagavad Gita, rather only use for preaching to others and to sell, then it's not going to help. It will stay like that. Maybe it will give you some Sukriti, as they call it, Sukritam or whatever it is. But beyond than that, spiritually, not you cannot go further. Because the knowledge is so potent. The second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna understood that Arjuna is all based on sentiments. Completely based on sentiments. Arjuna was talking. And Krishna decided that spiritual science, spiritual knowledge is not sentiments. Spiritual knowledge is knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge that cannot be substituted with anything else. So, knowing very well the situation, Krishna spoke very blunt, very straightforward to Arjuna some of the absolute truth of this world, which cannot be compromised at any time. And that's why, so we will have these classes on September the 14th till 2nd of October, every day, Monday to Friday, 4 to 6 in the morning, at Suniti's house, which is 119 Normandy House. If anybody interested, more than welcome. 112, sorry, 112, if I'm giving you wrong thing. So it's 112 Normandy Avenue in Barnet. She has given that facility for us to use it. So, coming back now to Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, as I mentioned before, is full of mysteries. When you go through it, you will understand that the more we fall away from Bhagavad Gita, we pay a heavy price for it. There's nothing else we can do about it. As he says to us, this is the law, I have set it up. I've set it up like this. Either you follow or you don't follow. It's up to you. And the beauty, that is why Krishna was so confident in saying to Arjuna at the end, I have told you everything what I have to say. Yathechasi tatha kuru. Do what you like now. Only Krishna can say this. Why? Because he knows what he's talking about. The person who set the rules only can say this. Yathechasi tatha kuru. Do what you like now. I have told you everything what I have to say. So Krishna is telling us also the same thing. I have told you everything. It's up to you if you want to do it or you concoct your own ideas otherwise and carry on with life. So anyway, so this is one of the important things to be mentioned here. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at the end, Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De. Shastram is Pramanam, not all other things what you see in this world. So many people may say so many things, but as far as Krishna is concerned, Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De Karya Karya Vyavasthitau. Karyam and Akaryam, the right and the wrong thing, one should make the decision, Krishna says, based on Shastram. That is Krishna's final decision on that. Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De Karya Karya Vyavasthitau. Otherwise, if you based on our attachment to this world and our attachment to our society, friendship and so many other things, if we make decisions on that basis, then we'll have to live with it, the result. Nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. And when we go through the second chapter, you will find that a lot of our misconceptions on spiritual life, how we have developed so many misunderstandings, especially in the modern world. Because in the modern world, everything has to work based on institutions, isn't it? We pass on 80-90% of our responsibility to the institution. And what happens in the institution, we won't question anything. We will just accept it, whatever the institution says. And we think everything is wonderful, perfect. But this may not happen. This is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is very much, Shastram is the authority, not institution. Shastram is authority. If we put our faith in all the wrong places and the wrong people and the wrong things, then we pay a price for it. Then nothing is going to happen. That's why Krishna is saying there. Krishna probably knew that we'll build a lot of this kind of institutions in Kali Yuga and there will be a lot of problems also. Tasmal Shastram Brahmanande, Krishna says, Karyagari Vyavasthito. Shastram is the only authority, nothing else. And the more we understand Shastram, the less chances we will deviate from the Krishna's way, Krishna's instructions. The more we understand Shastram, the less possibility of making mistakes. Our mind will become more clear on all these things. What is the right thing to do? In many instances, just because we don't know what is the right thing to do, we get driven by the other things in this world. So that's one of the important points. Then, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam stresses one important point, that this body, material body what we have, is in this world completely under Krishna's control. Somebody is controlling. If you don't want to call it as Krishna's control, you can say there is an unknown force which is keeping this body going in this world. And the life in this world is driven by vasanas. Vasana that has come with us. We have brought a lot of vasanas with us. And the vasanamayam, it is called vasanamayam. Vasanamayam means the vasanas are that is pushing this world, pushing us in different ways to act in the one way or the other. So life is vasanamayam, it's based on the vasanas. And what carries this world is prarabdham, prarabdha karmam, that keeps this body going. And why we are tempted to act in one way or the other is actually Krishna's decision. It is Krishna who is controlling everything. When we feel like doing something good in this world, Krishna is behind it. When we are doing so many bad things in this world also, Krishna is behind it. But intelligent person will, the help of Shastram, will understand that am I doing the right thing or not, or withdraw himself rather than looking for fame and popularity and recognition in this world and or thinking that it is the right opportunity for accumulation of wealth or any such thing. These false ideas may come to his mind. So because this is very much a reality in the world today, it is important to be conscious and to constantly alert about all these things what Krishna has spoken. So Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De Karya Karya Vyavasthito. So Krishna says that this, as I said before, that this, our nature, most of us, majority of us, I would say, majority means you can say more or less 99.9% in this world. The right thing is to say is like this, we are like seagulls. You know the seagulls, the bird, which come. Why are we compared with seagulls? Because if say 10 seagulls are sitting in a row, in one row, they all fly together, isn't it? Sometimes you see them early in the morning here also. They fly together, you must have seen the white color there, and they come together, they come and they'll sit in one place, all 10 of them, they will land and sit in a row. If somebody comes and shoots 9 of them, the 10th one will still sit there like this. It won't go. Is that the intelligent thing? It is from this word, seagulls, the word gullible has come in English. Gullible. So, we are like that. It's okay, everybody is doing that, I'm also doing the same thing, what does it matter? You know, we are all going back home, back to Godhead together, so what does it matter? We are all there together, here also we are together, so we'll be always together. This is madness. This is just madness. This is not spiritual life. This is foolishness. And Tasmal Shastram Pramanande. Why did Krishna talk all these things? Otherwise, Krishna could have set up a few institutions and gone, which could have stayed there. Krishna didn't set up any institution. He said that my words are this. Supreme Personality of Godhead had told us, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, this is your authority. Follow this. And instead of taking them all seriously, we said, let that go. That is Krishna who came 5,000 years. What does he know what's going on today? We know better now what's going on. We make the decision now. We have the authority now. So Krishna says, carry on then and see where you get at the end. So it is in that background we are talking. Dehastho vina dehastha. That dehastha, we were talking about examples. I mentioned a few examples last time. That he, even while within this body, he is outside this body. He has finished with this body. And when he comes back from, if he has to break away from this body, that this attachment to this body has to go away at some point. And if we are not making that progress in respect of attachment to this body, then there is no progress in spiritual life. It is this they call it as the scorpionic grip. Like a scorpion, it's holding us, this body and the soul. The soul is controlled by the body to such an extent, and by our daily activities in this world, we are increasing the bodily attachment to such a higher degree that, and simultaneously we are saying we are making progress in spiritual life. But that's not possible. That's what Krishna is saying. So the scorpionic grip, as they call it like that in the Upanishad philosophy, it is mentioned like that. We talked about certain examples that even after realizing that the body is, I am not this body. This body is not mine and this body is of no use to me at the end. It will leave me. That's what we were discussing. I am not this body. Body is not mine and the body is not meant for my use. At the end, three things. These are three basic things to free oneself from this bodily identity. I am not this body. Body is not mine and the body is of no use to me. As long as it is there, you can use it. But if you start depending on this body, then you are lost. Finished. As long as the body is there, just like a car, you service the car, you pour the petrol, and you wash the car and keep it for usage. But if you start thinking, I am the car, and start identifying with it, then you are in trouble. So same thing here also, with this material body, connection, the relationship between us, the soul, and the body is the same thing. That the body, the mind, the intelligence, ego, all these things I am not, any one of them. Neither the body, nor the mind, nor the intelligence, nor the false ego. All these are different things, they have nothing to do with me. So, while the realized soul, he is conscious, his eyes and his mind, everything is always focused on the soul. Focused on the soul. So, what Krishna is doing here is, somehow or the other, get our attention away from the body. This is the first thing every great spiritual teacher does in this world. First, to get our attention away from the body to the soul. To shift our attention. At the moment, it is completely in the body. Body and the world outside. Neither of them are helpful in spiritual life. Both are actually problems. To give you an example. We talked about these three states of existence, isn't it? Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti. Three states. Vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep. Three states of existence we discussed. If you have looked through this, you will see, if you are analyzing in your own mind when we talk, this Bhagavadam, unfortunately what's happening in the modern world is, Bhagavadam means storytelling. Storytelling is okay. It's all story. I know the story in the Bhagavadam. Everybody says, oh, I heard the story before. Oh, he tells the stories very nicely. Storytelling is not simply Bhagavadam. Storytelling is there to talk about Krishna's pastimes, to understand, to purify us, it helps. But unless Sula Goswami said this in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa. You should inquire about the truth. He's not inquiring about the truth, simply only carrying on with the storytelling. There are so many nice storytellers in this world, much better storytellers than what we can do. If you listen to Radio 4, you will find beautiful storytellers there. And they can talk very nicely, nice stories. And with so many millions of people are listening to those stories. Storytelling. It's a big art. Even in the West also it's a big art, isn't it? Storytelling. So storytelling is not the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa. Tattva Jijnyasa. Inquiring after the truth. But due to the modern commercialized spiritual world, many instances what you find, the gurus, swamis, they come and do for a week, saptaham. Stories, nice stories from Bhagavatam. People go and listen and they come back, and they were before when they as they went, and they are the same after they came back. For 1 week they said, we heard the stories. Saptaham Bhagavatam we have heard, and okay, well, I don't know how much we have purified or not. We are not bothered about that. But at least we have got, we heard about Krishna for a week, and then we forgot Krishna after that. So, Krishna hasn't spoken Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam just to ignore like that. It has given us something, an abundance of spiritual knowledge and spiritual wealth. Not based on sentiments, very much based on beautiful logic and reasoning and argument. So the three states of existence, coming back to that. In Jagrat, we have least conscious of Krishna, isn't it? In Jagrat, as a vacant state, we are least conscious of Krishna. You all agree with that? That we are least conscious of Krishna in the vacant state. In the dream state, it is 50-50. I'll tell you how it is 50-50. Partly we are conscious of us, partly we are conscious of Krishna in the dream state. In the deep sleep, we are not conscious of ourselves, because that's why we are able to sleep deeply in the deep sleep. But we have a very, very minute realization of Krishna in that deep sleep state. This is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in many places, only thing you have to take Srimad Bhagavatam and read it and think about it. Why all these things are mentioned there? Our sages were not wasting our time. They have given us something very valuable. And they have given us something to think through in life and to make some intelligent decisions. Intelligent decisions. So there, in the third state, in the deep sleep state, what's happening is, Shastra is saying like this, it's not my word, you also can verify yourself, that in the Jagrat state you are least conscious of Krishna. In the dream state it is 50-50. You are conscious of yourself, you are conscious of Krishna. And in the deep sleep you are not conscious of yourself, but to a very, very small degree you are conscious of Krishna. Now, how do we explain this, that what I have spoken? It is like this. In Jagrat state, in vacant state, because all your attention is in the body as well as through the senses to the world outside, it goes, isn't it? It goes through the senses to the external world and it is busy with the body. It does know nothing else it knows at that time. It doesn't know anything else except the world outside as well as the its own gross body. And therefore, even the soul we are questioning, is there a thing called a soul? Isn't it? We question because of this. Why? Because it's so absorbed in the world outside. That's why we are questioning. Now, the moment you come to the dream state, what happens then? I'll give you an example. Say, in the evening, during the, twilight hours or something, say, sandhya time, with the events, neither day nor dark, or something like that. You've just gone for a walk into the forest. And while walking in the forest, a tiger caught you. You were caught by a tiger. And you are dreaming this in your sleep. Imagine that. You are dreaming this. You are gone for a walk and a tiger captured you. When the tiger captured you, you have fallen into the tiger's mouth and it is holding your throat. The tiger is holding it here like this. And you are suffering heavily. The tiger wants to finish you up. in a few seconds. The dream is going on like this. And when this is happening, you are suffering heavily at that time, isn't it? You are suffering. You are experiencing that fear inside. And sometimes you may cry, you may make some sound because you are experiencing that right at that moment. While all this is experiencing, there is someone else standing there who is not affected by any of these things and who is recording it. Is it not? That is why when you come back from that state to this state, to the vacant state, he is able to report to you and tell you that it was all a dream. And these two things, one who was there, one is Jiva and the other one is the Paramatma. One is the Jivatma, other one is the Paramatma. That's what we are discussing now in the Bhagavatam. Jivatma and Paramatma, if you want to see both of them together at any time, that is only possible in the dream state. So dream state is important. Do you understand what I'm saying? The importance of dream state is this, that both Jivatma and the Paramatma are present there. And if you look at it this way, that Jivatma is going through all the miseries. Paramatma is a witness for everything, isn't it? Bandho mukta idikhyada gunadomena vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Krishna is saying there that this realization that Jivatma and Paramatma together present in us and present before us is in the dream state. That's why dream state cannot be ignored. Now, if you move one more step further to the deep sleep state, what happens? In the deep sleep state, normally, all you know is that you have lost yourself completely. You have slept very well in the night. And you woke up in the morning, you can't even remember how good the sleep was. That you, most of the people will say, if they have slept well, they'll say, I have completely forgotten what happened during the night. I didn't know anything what was happening. This is how they will report, isn't it? You have also reported like that sometimes, I'm sure. But most of us, when we wake up from that deep sleep and come out, immediate reaction is, oh, I had such a good sleep. Why? Why is that that sleep was giving you so much happiness? The sleep was giving you happiness because these mediums like the body absent, mind absent, senses absent, false ego absent, everything absent. On the other hand, there was only this, even the Jiva himself, the living entity, the Jivatma, also missing, gone missing. He's also gone missing. Paramatma is only there, who he reports to you when you wake up that you had such a good sleep. And that is why at that state there is only Paramatma. Whereas in the dream state, there is only Jivatma and Paramatma. In the Jagrat, there is neither Jivatma nor Paramatma. So which state is better? Think about this. From material point of view, Jagrat is the best state. Is it not? Because we say, the only real thing is in the Jagrat. Is it not? That's how we have been taught. Isn't it? We keep on saying to others, in the real world. And that is this Jagrat world we are talking about. So, Jagrat world, whatever is discussed, is completely away from Krishna. Everything away from Krishna. That is the Jagrat realization. The dream state is 50-50. Witness is there, you are also there. As the Jivatma and Paramatma, you experience something. Although, when you woken up to the vacant state, you have completely forgotten that. And then you start saying that it is not a reality and all that. But that, let Krishna decide whether it's a reality or not. How can you say it's not a reality? I am suffering in the Jagrat, I am suffering in the dream. So where is the differences? Because we identify with the body so much, we think only what is related to the body is the truth. Everything else, when you suffer in the subtle body, you don't take it as the truth. When you suffer in the gross body, you take it as the truth, isn't it? This is our ignorance, our education. So, similarly, when you go to the deep sleep state also, what happens at that point is that the only person who knows what is happening in the deep sleep is Krishna. Jivatma also goes away because he is free from all vasanas, free from all other mediums, upadis they call it. None of them are there to disturb him. So Paramatma gives you that happiness, and that is the happiness when you come back and report in the Jagrat later. So this Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, these three things are called Avasthatrayam. That's the word in the Sanskrit, Avasthatrayam. Why? It is an Avastha. Avastha means it's a state of existence. It's only a state, isn't it? It's only a state. That means it can change. This is what it means. The state means it can always change. It's a temporary state, in other words. So it's called Avastha. So Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three things, they are called Avasthatrayam. But the fourth state is not Avastha. It is our real state. What is that? Self-realized state. It's not a state actually. Self-realized condition. That is our true existence is like that. We are meant to be like that. When we fell into these three, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, it became Avastha for us. Otherwise it's not Avastha. That's why the fourth one is not called a state anymore. It's not a Avastha. It's not a Avastha. Tuyam is not a Avastha. It is free from all these three conditioning of Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. So these are important things to remember when we are discussing Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna will talk about this much later in depth. He'll keep on repeating this to Uddhava. Uddhava, these are important things to understand. So the jnanis and the great devotees who have reached that state of consciousness, they will not care for the body anymore. This is what the point we were making before, isn't it? That the body is not anymore important for them. We are not saying something which are spoken just to not saying for the sake of this is something not practical to say like that. People say like that, isn't it? That you can say all these things, but in the real practical world it's not possible. There are many people like that who say like that, isn't it? So whenever we go to hear these topics from anywhere, if you have a mental frame like that, that he says everything very nicely, whatever he has said is all correct, but in the practical world it is not possible. As soon as you step out of the room, people talk like this. If that, they are the biggest danger in this world, association with such people who says like that. Because they have already decided in their mind, nothing else is possible. World will go its way. For them, it's like hearing another katha. Bhagavatam is another katha for them. They will hear the katha and they want to leave it. Katha, you don't keep it in the head all the time, isn't it? As soon as you leave the room, you leave the katha also. So similarly, if you take all these things in that way, it is not possible, it can never be done, it's not practical. And things he can say all the, he says nicely everything and it's all very nice what he said, all makes sense also, but it's not practical. So what can you do? If with that way, if you hear all these things, then it is waste of time. And it is like these people who talk like that, they are like the swine flu. You know, it's like the swine flu. It's worse than the swine flu. At least swine flu, they're developing some vaccine or some treatment is going to happen. But for this, there's no treatment. There's no treatment for this. Once we have developed this mentality, there is no treatment for this. Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is not for entertainment. It's not for entertainment. If we thought that it is for entertainment, then we may as well pack up and go. There's so many better places for entertainment. Krishna's words are knowledge. Knowledge, bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, three things, knowledge, renunciation and devotion. These are the things that has to grow within us. And that is the way back home, back to Krishna, to understand Krishna. These things are necessary and they cannot be ignored, all that. So we were talking about these things, and I mentioned also that one great sage who had cancer, but because due to his realizations, he has gone beyond the state of cancer was not disturbing him. He had the pain. The body was experiencing the pain. Doctors were coming to him to treat him. And they were trying to help him and tell him that they can cure him from the cancer. He told them what is the need to cure cancer. Let the cancer come, because the body is meant for that one day. If that is coming due to prarabdham, let the prarabdham eat at least he is finished with that. Otherwise I have to go through another life to accept this again. So you are so clear and so firm in his head about these things that he mentioned at that point that cancer, when the people asked him, why don't you pray to cure yourself from the cancer? His reply was, because of realization, this is what I am saying. Realization, his answer was, cancer is for the body, not for me. I am not affected by cancer. To such an extent, they can break away between the body and the soul. And to be situated in the soul, in the spiritual platform, like that, is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to bring us to that platform. But all along I am reading Bhagavad Gita, and all along I am continuing to look after my body, to keep it 100% all the time. That will not go, because that means it's not working. Bhagavad Gita is not working for us. This is how we have to see it. Body does not belong to us. Body belongs to material nature. The soul belongs to Krishna. We are Krishna's part and parcel. Our body is not Krishna's part and parcel. Our soul is Krishna's part and parcel. That we have to remember. So if we don't move away from the body to this soul, we will have to constantly, we are wasting our time in everything else. This is the most important point coming in Ekadasham. So, this great personality, he was teaching us all the time. All the time, through his own life. People were coming to him. And you know, ordinary people, how they are, what they are like, most of us. We will go to somebody like that and we will see, think, oh, this has happened to him like this, how sad. How sad, whole life he has spent in spiritual life. Now he is suffering like this, so what's the point in all this spiritual life? This kind of remarks people will make. They'll do that, all the time they do this. And they will not know anything, because he is on a different level in different consciousness. And we are on a different level in different consciousness. We keep making these remarks. How he is suffering. Why can't he take some treatment? Why don't we get a good doctor? And then the doctors keeps coming. They also want to help. But nobody can help. Already he has left his body. But then why does he stay? He is waiting for prarabdham to finish. Once the prarabdham is over, he will go. He knows 100% clear in his head that his body is meant for destruction one day. It's of no use to him. He's already realized that. This body is of no use to me. But that doesn't mean that he has to kill the body. Let the body die on its own. There were many, many great personalities like this. And you will not find them in the temples or ashrams. You may find them outside, somewhere else. Where they will appear, you can never say that. That depends on their realizations. It's not that all spiritual personalities are living only in the temple. We must get out of all these illusions from our head. That only in the ashram and the holy places you will find. Spiritual personalities can appear anywhere in this world, under any conditions. Because if you hear the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will make it very clear that one verse is enough to tell you the truth. Ascharya vel pashyati kashchidenam. It's ascharyam, he says, that it is a wonderful thing, that it's the most amazing thing, than how people become self-realized at different places, under different circumstances, under different conditions. So there's so many things, we'll come to that later. So here, we were talking about this great personality, he was like that. And after he had this attack of cancer, he sat there, after the doctors conducted operation. And they were trying to give him anesthetic to relieve the pain. Initially he resisted. He said, I don't need it. And he was suffering the pain. But still, the doctors insisted. Eventually, anesthetic were given to him. But still, when he came out with anesthetic, he was saying that even in the anesthetic state, it did not bother him at all. What was going on then or what came back after that. And with all the pain in the body, he still sat there. because many people were coming to see him at that state. So, important thing is to know these personalities, how they dealt with death. They have given us some understanding of the soul. They have told us to come out of this death, thing called death. Srimad Bhagavatam is not talking something different than all these things. If you look into the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj was giving up his body, what do you see there? This is what you are seeing there. Exactly like this, Parikshit is saying there at that point to Sudeva Goswami, that Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. He says, Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. Up to this point, Parikshit also thought he was that body. Now, due to Sudeva Goswami's mercy, and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit also escaped from this grip of the body. When he came out of the grip of the body, he is saying there, Aham Brahmam, I am Brahman. That realization, Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi state came to him. So, that realization of Aham Brahmasmi is that prompted him to say this, Brahma Aham Paramam Padam, that now I see there is only Brahman in this world. Everything else is not reality. See how one, when he moves away from the bodily identity by step to the Brahman realization, how his vision towards this world also changes. Aham Brahma Param Dhamam Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. That I have got where I have to reach, he says. I got there already. And this is the gift Sudeva Goswami gave to Parikshit. The knowledge in the Ekadasha Skandam which Krishna spoke to Uddhava is not different. It's not different. Keeping Krishna and Uddhava as the best example, Sudeva Goswami spoke Ekadasha Skandam to Parikshit, isn't it? So, when in the beginning of Ekadasham, no doubt, Uddhava was a great devotee, wasn't it? Uddhava was a great devotee. A devotee whom you cannot compare with anyone else. So highly advanced devotee. And at one point, while Krishna was leaving, unable to bear the feeling of separation, Uddhava said to Krishna that Swadhama forget that. Take me also with you back to the spiritual world. And started crying. Uddhava started crying. When Uddhava started crying, Krishna got really upset with Uddhava. He really got upset with Uddhava. Why did he get upset? He got upset. If you understand the reason why Krishna got upset with Uddhava, Swadhama Nayamam Abhi, that is a word in the Bhagavatam. Swadhama Nayamam Abhi. Take me also with you, I cannot bear this separation. He is speaking as a devotee now. So at that point, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you have been with me for the last 115 years, more or less, 115 years they have spent together. Is this what you have learned, to cry when I am leaving? Is this what you have understood about me? Did you think that I am someone whom you see like this in this body here? This is what you have understood about me? Shows, what does it show? That when you understand Krishna, who is Krishna? What is Krishna? If you have understood Krishna, oh, Krishna has come, Krishna has gone. Krishna has come, Krishna has gone. Then you don't think about Krishna anymore, isn't it? Then you have to wait till you get there to see Krishna. That is why Krishna got upset. Did you think, he says to Uddhava, did you think I am a truth which comes like this and goes like that? Because you have not understood Krishna properly. That's what has happened to Uddhava. Sudhama nayama toyoba bhukta srakhandam vasalangara charchidehi uchishta bhojino dasa tavamaya jayamahi. Uddhava says to Krishna, toyoba bhukta srakhandam vasalangara charchidaha. That as a devotee, I have been with you throughout your life here. And I said, all the prasadam I have got from you, all the prasadam I have taken from you, all the clothes what Krishna wore, Uttariyam, Pilambaram, everything was given to Uddhava. Uddhava was using it as a prasadam. Whenever Krishna finished eating, Rukmini Devi gave everything to back balance to Uddhava to eat. So all these things have happened in Uddhava's life. So Uddhava was feeling, saying, very confident he was, he says to Krishna, that I have no fear about Maya. Maya is finished. I'm not frightened about Maya anymore. Only a devotee can say like that. Why? Uchishta bojino dasa. That I am your servant all the time. Throughout I am your servant. And your uchishtam, the remnants I have been eating. Therefore, tava maya jaye mahi. I have won over your Maya. I won over the Maya. Krishna says, that's fine. That's good. That you won over the Maya. But you're crying now when I am leaving. Did you think that I am such a person who has come here like this form and once I go, I've gone? Is this what you have understood about me? And that is what has prompted Krishna to speak Ekadasi Skandam to Uddhava. To make Uddhava understand what is Krishna. Many, many things in the Ekadasi Skandam will open up our eyes, make us understand that Krishna is not a truth which is limited to a particular form. So many millions of forms he has appeared before. As Krishna says, Kalatrayobhavannani Jinmakarma Gunanija. That how many forms have appeared, I don't have an account myself, Krishna says at one point to Muchukunda. So many incarnations, Krishna has appeared before, and so many incarnations to follow. So, Krishna's understanding Krishna is not easy. And when you understand Krishna properly, then this question of separation won't come anymore from Krishna. And therefore Krishna understood that, Uddhava has not understood. And therefore Ekadasi Skandam was spoken. So many, many things in the Bhagavadam requires a deep reflection and deep analysis of things to make us that this is the way spiritual life has to go. If the spiritual life don't go in this way, most of the time is all based on rules and regulations. Every time I've done all what I've been told, like that, if you keep everything based on rules and regulations, then the message won't come. But Bhagavatam is saying to us, Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa. Tattva Jitnyasa is the goal. That I will discuss when we come to Bhagavad Gita. What is this thing called Tattvam and what is this thing called Jitnyasa? Tattva Jitnyasa. We will go back into Bhagavatam here. So, Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa Na Arthascheha Karmabhi. In the first canto, beginning itself, Vedavyas wrote that and Sudha Goswami mentioned this to Shaunaka Rishi. In the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, so that there should not be any misunderstanding later. Kamasya Indriya Preeti. All these things, if you start talking, go on talking, a lot of things. Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, Moksham. Four things, isn't it? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksham. Four things, what we call as the human life is meant for. What are they? Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, isn't it? So, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, when the this came to my mind, it's interesting. When the sages came to Naimisharanyam, this is where this thing happened. In Naimisharanyam, all the sages were present there, weren't they? Who were all present there? Shaunaka Rishi and thousands of other sages were present to hear Sudha Goswami. They were performing a sacrifice there. If you read the first canto itself, you will see this there. They are performing a great sacrifice there. And at the end of that chapter, you will see Satram Sorgaya Logaya Sahasra Samama Sada. That is how he finishes that. Satram Sorgaya Logaya Sahasra Samama Sada. What were they doing there? Sudha Goswami is saying there that a sacrifice which was going to last for 1,000 years. Sacrifice for 1,000 years. What for? To go to the heaven, Sorgam. Satram Sorgaya Logaya. To go to the heaven, heavenly planets. They were performing, these sages were all together, Shaunaka Rishi and the whole group of sages. They are performing the sacrifice in Naimisharanyam, Sahasra Samamasada, for 1,000 years. A sacrifice to go to the spiritual to the heavenly planets. When this came out, Sudha Goswami said to the sages who were present there that kamasya indriya preeti labho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jinyasa na artha cha iha karma bhi. He said like that. What he was saying was that this thing what you have started here, you see, the sages were not in a mood to listen to Bhagavatam straight away. When Sudha Goswami arrived there, Sudha Goswami came there, he was instructed by Sukadeva Goswami in the banks of river Ganga river. And Sukadeva Goswami told Sudha Goswami, speak Srimad Bhagavatam to those in Naimisharanyam, they will listen to you. And many other sages also come there to listen. But when he came there, these people were busy with all these yagam and yajnam and everything. They wanted to do all this to go to the heavens. They were busy with that, like us. They were also busy. So they say that these 1,000 years lasting sacrifice they were executing. And when Sudha Goswami came here, they were saying to him also that we are performing this sacrifice like this. So at that time Sudha Goswami understood these people are not ready yet. They are not doing the right thing. So he started from the basics. Basics is this. Dharmam, Artham, Kama, Moksham. Four things. Isn't it? We all know about that. Religiosity, dharmam, economic development, kamam, artham, and sense gratification is kamam, and moksham is liberation. The four things. Sudha Goswami asked these questions to them, one question to them straight away, to divert their attention from the sacrifice to Bhagavatam. How did he do that? He said to them that kamasya indriya preeti, out of these four, the middle two, which one? Kamam, artham and kamam. Kamasi indriya preeti, labho jiveta yavada. He says to them that what is the profit you gain from this? Because this question is very current. Do you know why? Vedas, generally we say Vedas give all these four. Isn't it? Vedas talk about all these four things. Dharmartha, kama, moksha. It's all in the Vedas. But the goal of the Veda was not to engage us in artham and kamam. Suppose Vedas were not there in this world, does anybody has to tell us artham and kamam? Does anyone has to come and tell us how to execute artham, how to earn money in this world? That we can teach them. Not they have to tell us. These are very subtle things in spiritual life which we don't take note of. So, artham, making artham or earning money, if that is the goal of life, we don't need Vedas, do we? We don't need Vedas to earn money. I mean, there are much better ways. You invest in best stocks and shares, you make more money than the Vedas will tell you. So he says there, artham is not the goal. Then the next thing came out was kamam. Kamam means sense gratification. If sense gratification is the goal, also we don't need Vedas, do we? Why do we need Vedas for? We have much better understanding of sense gratification in this world than in the Vedic literature. But then why was it brought in the Vedas, these two things? These two things, the sages were fully aware of our nature, the human nature they were fully conscious of. What they were conscious of was that if you tell people don't earn money, they are not going to stop it. They are not going to go away. They will go looking somewhere. Whether it is funny sometimes to see how crooked the politicians and the businessmen are when they want to deal with other countries to get some money out of them. You can bet good examples all the time. I won't quote any example, but if you are mind is, you look at their way of negotiations and their tact, how they use to get big orders from other countries, whether it's for weapons or oil or whatever it is. These things are behind the... Nobody is teaching them how to do it, are they? Okay, there is places like Harvard and other places to teach these things. But if you allow people to go in that way, what will happen? What will happen? If you allow everyone to use their brain and intelligence to earn money, how to earn money in this world. If you without teaching them, their intelligence is full up with all these ideas in their head. Only thing what will happen is these two things will only happen. Which one? Artham and Kamam. In other words, earning money, enjoying life. So, and these two things, if you tell people not to do it, they are not going to listen. They need it at any cost. If you tell every one of them that you give up earning money is for what, they will say? To enjoy. Enjoy for what? To earn money. And unless you earn money, how can you enjoy? So this answer they will give it to you and they will walk away. They won't listen anything further. So the sages knew our nature, what we are like. So what they did was at least check them, a little bit restrict them, so that they don't go all the way out of control, crazy and mad after money and after sense enjoyment. So therefore, they brought the first thing called dharmam prior to artham and kama. This is how dharmam came in. So if you want to earn money, do it in a dharmic way. If you want to enjoy senses, you do it in a dharmic way. So dharmam is the foundation on which artham and kamam was allowed to do. Or in other words, you are allowed to earn artham based on dharma. You are allowed to enjoy kamam based on dharma. The things are so complex now in the modern world. Some great spiritualists, they knowing very well artham is important, they invest their wealth in stocks and shares and they pose themselves as spiritually inclined as well. And everybody is confused now. Most of the people are confused, to tell you the truth, that he is such a rich person and he's doing all this kind of business. And then he is a very spiritually advanced person also. How all these things, the puzzle doesn't get resolved. People are confused. Why? Because the fundamentals are not clear. There are so many going on like this. Everybody is confused. They are thinking that, how can this be? He is giving so much money to all the spiritual organizations. And he is making so much money through all false means as well. Giving a lot of pain to so many other people in this world. He's making a lot of money. And then he's dovetailing everything with Krishna. So he must be properly, he must be the most advanced devotee in this world, most realized soul. Who else can it be who is giving so much money? Because he's so realized, that's why he's giving so much money. This is how the mundane thinking will go in that way. You see, it's all the foolishness of this world. So that is why in the beginning itself, Sudha Goswami made it clear that kamasi indriya preeti. What is your kamam and indriya preeti? What good is it there? Labho jiveda yavada. If you engage your life in these things, what will happen? He says, jivasya tattva jityasa. Life is meant for inquiring after the truth. That is what he said. Jivasya tattva jityasa. Na artha cha karmabhi. Not for executing this mad thing called karma. Continuously earning money and na artham, not money, karmabhi, not work. This is not the goal. So straight away he said this and kept it in front of the sages first. Before he started Bhagavatam, he had to say these things because even the sages were doing this. They were also thinking of going to the heavenly planets and enjoying them. 1,000 years sacrifice was meant for that. The only thing is sages are a little bit more intelligent than us. Why? They know 1,000 years sacrifice means a long period of very higher standard of life in the heavenly planets. Whereas here, today you will be first in the Fortune 500, tomorrow you will be out of the 500 list even. In a very short time it can happen. Isn't it? So, which is worthwhile? Probably the other one was worthwhile because at least you are guaranteed that you will go and you will live somewhere with a much better body for a long period of time and a higher standard of sense enjoyment. So anyway, Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam is not talking to us these things. That's why karmam, arthakamam is not the goal of life. So you can see now from all these how difficult it is for a person to come to genuine spiritual life. For a genuine spiritual life, it's very difficult. Because as soon as you come to spiritual life, first thing you are thinking about artham and kamam. That is the vasanas inside, arthakamam. So whether it is material life or spiritual life, arthakamam is the goal. So it goes like that. So they said, the Sudha Goswami said, because he has heard from Sudhaya Goswami, he said, the fundamental of everything is dharma. Based on dharma, so that at least there is some control on a person. He don't break away the whole thing and go mad after accumulating wealth and making money and enjoying life. So he put a break there. Then he said, Vadandida tattvavidam tattvamajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyate. Now he begins the proper subject. He says, the first three, if you leave it, those three are not the goal. Neither dharmam, nor artham, nor kamam. The goal is moksham. Liberation. That is the goal, not the other three. That is why he said, vadandida tattvavidam. One who knows tattvam, one who knows the truth, that's what he's saying. Vadandi, they are saying, tattvam, that tattvam, yajnanam advayam, that is one without a second, non-dual substance, it is. And the same thing is referred to by great realized souls under three titles. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan, iti shabdyate. In three different titles, they are spoken. So, important thing here is, Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for dharmartha kamam. It is meant for moksham. Freeing once for all to stop this cycle of birth and death. That is the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why when we study Bhagavatam, if our consciousness is not in tune with Bhagavatam, or if you are so many millions of other thoughts going through the head, thinking that, oh, I have to read a few chapters of Bhagavatam because my spiritual master told me, you read Bhagavatam, I'll also read Bhagavatam. And in that way, if you read, it will not go very far. It will just stay like that. But Vadandida Tattvavidam, these words in the Bhagavatam are so important. That Vadandi, they are saying like this. Because after this point, Sudha Goswami tolerated the sages. He's saying, fine, whatever you have said. He understood their mood straight away. He said, now I cannot go on listening to this or your yagam, yajnam, sacrifice anymore. I have something more important than that to talk to you. That's how he came out and said, Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvamajnanam Advayam. That knowledge, that realization of the truth, Tattvavidam, Tattvavids, one who knows the truth, they have spoken in three different forms. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan, iti shabdyate. In three different forms they have spoken. So, what we are trying to say is that when somebody is realized through either of these three, Brahma realization, Paramatma realization, Bhagavan realization, what will happen is that all these things, what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, will become the reality for him. Up to that point, nothing is reality for us. He realizes that this is the truth, what Bhagavatam is spoken. We have several examples like this. You have to look into self-realized souls. That is why we say you should only read the books written by self-realized souls, not anybody else. Every Tom, Dick and Harry can write spiritual texts. There's written also, millions available in this world. If you read all those, it won't benefit you. Why? Because a one who realized Ascharyaval Pashyadi Kashyadenam Ascharyaval, it is such an amazing thing to hear from a self-realized soul. Only he can talk about the soul, not anyone else. That is the important point. That is why self-realized soul should write, and only one should read the books written by self-realized souls. Otherwise it's a waste of time. It's a complete waste of time. That thing, what you get from that is something different. So, we're talking about so many examples, we're saying this, that I mentioned about this also before, Sadashiva Brahmendra story. Sadashiva Brahmendra lived 400-500 years ago, and Sadashiva Brahmendra at an early stage became self-realized. And the result of self-realization, we told many stories regarding him before, didn't I? Once he was walking through the street, and while walking through the street, he had to pass through a large garden, park-like thing, a big garden and a park together. And there were the Nawab, the Muslim ruler who was ruling at that time. He was, his palace was there, not far from there. And he had so many bathing tanks and swimming pools, everything around. Because that is the nature of the people who run the show, isn't it? They want all these kind of facilities, they enjoy that. So, Sadashiva Brahmendra was above all these things. For him, this whole creation is nothing but Krishna's expansion. A person in that state, you can imagine, for him, what Nawab, what king, what queen, what prime minister, nothing affects him. He just kept on walking. In that consciousness he's going through. Unfortunately, when he had to go through this, there were some women who were bathing in the one of the tanks there, and the Nawab was far away observing things, and he saw him coming through that. He was not allowed to go through that. So he was not conscious of anything, like Sudev Goswami's case, he was just walking through. So Nawab sent his soldiers to get him, bring him in, he said. Nawab didn't know anything about him. So he told him their type of justice was like that those days. Even now some places it is like that, isn't it? Told him to bring the sword, cut his hands off, he said. So he cut one of his hands of Sadashiva Brahmendra and the hand fell off. He didn't care, he kept walking. Goes on walking. Nawab was a little intelligent. He said, this is not an ordinary situation. He cut somebody's hand and he just doesn't even look back. He goes on. He's not conscious that the hand is gone and he's walking. So he says to him, he goes to him and he understood that, at least those days, they had that sense to understand when someone is somewhat different. They had a lot more spiritual understanding in them. So he goes to him and apologizes to him and asks for forgiveness. So Sadashiva Brahmendra turns around and says to him, what has happened? He says, I've cut your hand by mistake. I've done a great offense, he says. So here is the hand he brings back. He says, gives it to me and puts it back. Put it back onto his hand where it was cut off and walks away from there without saying one word. He walks away from that place. This Sadashiva Brahmendra, later on, Vasvam dehastobina dehasta, in the body, but not in the body. This state has come, already reached there. He goes and sits on the banks of river Kaveri. Kaveri river, he sat there. When he sat there, Kaveri river floods in the rainy season. Those days there were no dams or anything, unlike today. Plenty of water, Kaveri floods heavily. He sat there, he was not conscious. He was completely in the realized state. So the flood water has come and covered him. And months together, it stays like that. And he was underneath this water, sitting there, completely unconscious of everything. And when the rainy season gone, months together it is gone, the water has come down to its level in the summertime. Some people who had come, some farmers who had come, they come and grow vegetables on the river banks because you have plenty of water at that time. In the summer season you can grow different kind of vegetables. So the river, when it gets flooded, it brings a lot of sand along with it and it covers a lot of places with the sand, fresh sand, it comes and covers. So it is there, they dig the sand and remove the sand and they plant the different kinds of cucumber and so many other types of vegetables. They grow plenty of water to water the plants. So when they were digging, suddenly blood came out and they saw this person underneath the sand, sitting there. And the blood was from, by hitting him, cutting his hand or leg with the axe. So they knew that he's just very special situation. Somebody is like this underneath the water, and for so many months of the river was flowing. So they woke him up. They thought that there is still life in him. He was sitting there like this. He got up and walked away from there. This is not story. These are real things what has happened, which is recorded by Sadashiva Brahmendra's story. If you know, Sadashiva Brahmendra walked away from there. Then later on, there are many instances like that. When he gave up his body at three different places. He was also a great yogi. Apart from the high degree of realization he had, he was a great yogi as well. He wrote a commentary on Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. There's a commentary from Sadashiva Brahmendra. And one day, it so happened that one of his admirers means a devotee of him, who knew, there are people who always take note of these things, and who had great respect for him, he goes up to him and told him, Sadashiva Brahmendra, that he was very quiet, he won't speak to anyone. He was always in the self-realized state, moving in this world for the prarabdha body to drop. So he says to him that if you speak, it will be a great help to many others who are also trying to make progress in this path of spiritual life. So it was then that Sadashiva Brahmendra wrote some famous songs. Bruhi Mugundedi, it is one of the songs he has written. Keshava Madhava Govindedi. It's a famous verse about Krishna. That Keshava Madhava Govinda. Like this, the three names referring to that. Bruhi Mugundedi. That chant the holy name of Krishna. That was his message. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Bruhi Mugundedi. It's a famous song. It's one of the classical songs. So he wrote all these things, and eventually he had to give up his body. And before that, another incident happened. He used to walk through all places, always moving from one place to another. Because when Krishna will talk about this, in the Bhagavad Gita also you will find this. Only thing, when we read Bhagavad Gita, because all these things are not understood properly, that how we realize the soul acts, we think that is this all can happen, is this all possible? We think like that, isn't it? You know, in Bhagavad Gita and as well as in the Bhagavatam, Arjuna asked the question, Uddhava asked also same question. How does a realized soul act, isn't it? Sthita Prajna, that's mentioned in the second chapter, if you remember, Sthita Prajna. Sthita Prajna se ka bhasha, samadhista se keshava. Arjuna says to Krishna, Keshava, tell me, a Sthita Prajna, one who has come to that state of consciousness, who is in samadhi, always samadhista se keshava, how does he live in this world? How does he eat? How does he walk? How does he talk? All these kind of things. Now, if somebody gives you an answer, there is no rule that binds them. This is the first thing to remember. There is no hard and fast rule that binds them. You can't put some rules and say to them, he will act like this. Why? They are gone above the law. This is the reason. They are gone above the law. They are not bound by any law from this world. Nobody can say. That is why in the second chapter Krishna says, Ascharyavad, the soul is an amazing thing. Because when you are realized, how you will behave, you don't know. When you are realized, how you will behave in this world, nobody can say. That is why Ascharyavad, Krishna says, an amazing thing, the soul. So this thing, this our Sadashiva Brahmendra was walking through the street once. So there's a lot of people who are playing cards there. And as usual, as you know, when they play cards, what do they do? Gossiping, isn't it? Gossip. Village gossip or family gossip or all kinds of gossips, isn't it? There's always gossiping, there's a scope. There's time for that, whatever it is. So they were gossiping. So he went through them, he saw them, and there was someone else was following him. He knew that Sadashiva Brahmendra is going, and he was trying to get closer to him to get some instructions and mercy from him, was following him. So Sadashiva Brahmendra walked through, didn't care. And then when he went to another street, there were some people sitting there and they were reading Puranas. Some Purana they were reading. So he turned around. He heard this. Here they were gossiping, and there also they were reading Puranas. So what did he say at that time? He said to them, the man who was with him, he says to him, they are gossiping about the things in this world, and those ones, they are gossiping about the things in the heavenly planets. Both are gossiping only. But that is how the realized souls are. Because they have seen the truth. This is the important thing. Because they have seen the truth. Puranas are there only to help us to get there. But if you start taking all Puranas are history, that's why I was mentioning so many times, Puranas are there, through Puranas, the truths in the Upanishads, Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi has presented to us. But if you start doing research in Purana, like many people are doing now, they are all stuck at some point or the other, because something is not matching. Something is not working somewhere. One Purana will say one thing, another Purana will say something different. So which one is the right one? So these kind of difficulties will come. Puranas are there only to help. So in the process of writing the Puranam, Vedavyasa Maharshi has sometimes spoken certain things to keep us ourselves interested in the truth. Truth is more important than the Puranic stories. So getting to the truth, if you have reached the truth, then all these things are not significant, important. So Sadashiva Brahmendra said, they are gossiping, these people are gossiping about this world, and they are gossiping about the other world. That's the only difference as far as he is concerned. This is how a self-realized soul will speak. For him, that freedom he has, liberated state means this, freedom from everything, completely absorbed in the truth, has become the truth, in other words. He has become the truth. That is what you find there. That this important thing you have to recognize in spiritual life. Instead of taking everything traffic rules and following that, saying that I am in spiritual life, you can stay millions of years in that way. Ascharya valpashyadi kashchidenam. It's an ascharyam. The soul, spiritual life is a wonder in this world. And that is why there are very few people in that. And because it is like that, Krishna says, hardly anyone knows the truth, he says. Manushyanam sahasreshu. Kashchil yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam, kashchinmam veti tattvada. A very straightforward reply from Krishna. Manushyanam sahasreshu, out of millions and millions of people, kashchil yatati siddhaye, hardly anyone come to the perfection. Even if many out of that millions, yatatam api siddhanam, one who has attained in some perfection, some level of perfection, hardly anyone knows me in truth. Just see how Krishna presents that. How much value Krishna gives to that. Yadadamabhi siddhanam kashchinmam veti tattvada. One who realizes the tattvam in truth is hardly anyone, Krishna says. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, you have to value these words, Krishna's words. Each verse is a mantra in Bhagavad Gita. Each verse is a mantra. And that is why from time immemorial, it has attracted so many, many great, great personalities. They were affected by the Bhagavad Gita's knowledge and Bhagavad Gita's authority, the way it was spoken, and the background where it was spoken, and the personality to whom it was spoken. All these are important things in Bhagavad Gita. One has to recognize these things. So, coming back to this, every great soul, if you take, in realized state, the way they speak will be different. That is the first thing to recognize. So we are talking about here that this pain they experience, they do experience the pain. They do, they also know that the body is suffering. They also are aware of that. But then where is the difference? The difference between a conditioned soul and the realized soul is this, that the realized soul, there is no false ego in him. Ahankaram is not there. Because he has no ahankaram or false ego in him, there is no selfishness in him. And because there is no false ego, there is no selfishness in the person who is realized, even while experiencing this pain in the body, he is in ecstasy. There is a deep ecstasy, they say, in that pain. And that is very difficult to communicate with someone. Because as long as we have false ego inside, ahankaram inside, and as long as we have what is known as the selfishness, swarthada, inside, we will feel the pain. It is a different, what they call as the bodha mandalam. Bodha mandalam means our level of consciousness. In the consciousness, when there is selfishness and false ego, you will experience the pain. In the consciousness freed from false ego and selfishness, you may experience the pain, but it turns into ecstasy. It's an ecstatic feeling that body, because why? At that point, you are not in identification with the body. Although body is suffering, you will simply stand as a spectator to that. You are not. This is, although it may, I can repeat this again and again, unless one has experienced to some degree in life, one cannot accept this. It finds it difficult, isn't it? Because throughout life, what were we doing? Paracetamol, one after the other. Isn't it? Like a meal, we had eaten so many paracetamols throughout life. And even now, oh, I have to hear Bhagavan, let me take a 2 paracetamol and sit there. This is how we are living in this world. So, with this approach, if we come to Bhagavatam, what will happen? What will happen? Bhagavatam is telling us that sahanam sarva dukkhanam, any distress, let it come. Any distress, let it come. Give it an opportunity in life. Try to test this and see what happens. That when we experience distress, pain in the body, especially in the West, we are so much attracted by all these facilities for looking after the body. Then when we go to India, we need AC for everything. And even the restaurants, is there no AC there? I can't eat without AC. How can I eat AC? The whole problem starts there itself. And this is what we are discussing, Ekadasi Skanda, with these people like this. Where we will be? Dehastho vina dehastha. So, when we experience a little bit of this, that body is not us. We are not this body. You see, you may think why I am repeating this again and again. Why I am to repeat this? Because this is what Krishna has repeated throughout Bhagavad Gita. Nothing else. This is the only thing he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. You are not this body. To say this, he has to come from different angles to repeat it. Why? It is not going in. What to do? It's not going in. Krishna also finds it difficult. Because this, Krishna after speaking to Arjuna, because Arjuna's disease was the same disease, isn't it? Bodily disease. Oh, my relatives, my friends, my guru and my grandfather, my grandmother. Krishna says to him, what guru and what grandfather? What does it mean all this at the end? That means you have no knowledge. Ashochyan anya shojastvam pratyavadamscha bhashase pratyavadamscha. Talk big things. At that time, Krishna put his foot down and gave 2 smacks on Arjuna on either cheek. You can see those 2 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll come to that when we discuss second chapter. How Krishna got heavy with Arjuna at that point. That the same disease we all have, not that we are free from that. We are not like Arjuna, we are better than Arjuna, we think. But Arjuna is much more intelligent and he's a gentleman. He's a very, very decent person. His qualities are unbelievable. He is one of the Logabalas, isn't it? Indra's son and Kunti Devi's son. How glorified, great is Arjuna. And that Arjuna is speaking like this. And so Arjuna had to be chastised like that. And Arjuna was not ready for spiritual life up to that point. Only when Arjuna spoke all these things, Krishna says, Ashochyananya shojastum. Shochyananya shojastam, that beautiful verses in the second chapter. Pratyavadamsya bhashase, talking big things to me, Krishna says. Gadasuna gadasumscha, nani shojandi pandidaha. So, I will go to that later when we talk about that. So, here, the important point here is that Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavatam is that dehastho vina dehastha, that as long as you are within this body, and you are identifying with the body, you must suffer. There is no exception to it. If you are thinking in terms of escaping from this bodily misery, anything temporary you take to associate with in this world, not only material body, material wealth, and material objects. Anything that is not true, that is temporary, if you associate and take connection, make connection with that, you have to suffer. That is the law. Krishna's law is like that. This is the reason why one should take to spiritual life. So long as we associate, body is the first thing we take note of, isn't it? Because body is more dear to us than anything else. Then everything else what we do is also in relationship with the body. Eating, sleeping, sex life, defense, then sense enjoyment and wonderful arrangements for sense enjoyment. All these things are all temporary matter. And Krishna's point is, so long as you are trying to protect any of these temporary things, you must suffer. You have to suffer. If not today, tomorrow. Every verse in the Bhagavad Gita is pointing out to this one thing called soul, nothing else. And because it has not gone, it doesn't go in so easily to our head, Krishna has to speak in different ways at different times. So that is what Krishna has done there. And Krishna also said that that time that Viyogal Yoga Sam Idam. Samyoga Viyogal Yoga Sam Idam. In Bhagavad Gita you will find this. Samyogam and Viyogam. What does that mean? Samyogam means somebody has come to in association with you in life. Say for example, wife. For a man, it's wife, children, his children and all that. They all come and associate with you, some yoga. At some time, viyogam happens. Viyogam means you get separated. So, Krishna wants there that if you are giving your attention to the temporary things in this world, if you identify with them in any way, if you identify with them, you have to be ready for a disaster later. So, to pull out from this body, one's own body, to pull out oneself from his own relations and friends, from the society, and withdraw his attention from all other sense objects and shift the whole attention towards the soul. Krishna says that is what will make a person happy. When we come to the spiritual platform. There's a lot to say about that in the Bhagavad Gita. That's another topic for another day. So here we were discussing about this, that that the body, material body, was shown to others by these great sages that I am not this body. These jnanis who are realized, they will behave in such a way that others can notice them. And sometimes some good thoughts will develop in our head that at least at that point we may start thinking, oh, it is looks that we are not this body. At least that thought may develop inside. So, Dehastobina Dehasa. So, when the jnanis, after they have realized the truth, they will continue to live in this world for the benefit of others. In that condition, and they will still talk to people. They will still welcome those who want to come and see them, only for others' benefit. So that by seeing that, at least our attachment to body goes away. So, dehastobina dehastha. Then after that, in the Bhagavatam, that we have something very important. That, as I mentioned before, the great souls, if you study their life, great personalities who have self-realized here, right in this body, you will, from their interaction with the world, you can see that how they acted differently from us. Sometimes, as I mentioned before, some disciples will go to the Guru. Guru will be very advanced above the body, gone away from the body altogether. For him, the body is just nothing but food for the dogs and the foxes and other animals to eat. No better than that. But disciples sometimes think that the body is very precious. Body is very precious. And often what happens, they go to the spiritual master at the time of leaving the body and they start showing all compassion for the spiritual master's body. Although spiritual master has gone beyond the body, he is not in that body anymore. He is waiting for the body to go away, drop off. But often those disciples who have not reached that state of realization, or who have very limited understanding of spiritual life, sometimes it can happen like that. People will think, oh, they are sannyasis and they are gurus, this must be very advanced. This is all falsity. It's not like, not necessarily. Rule is not like, there's no rule like that anywhere. That because somebody has, one day it so happens, interesting thing. One man came up to one of the great sannyasis and told him that, why don't you give me sannyasi? He said, he was a householder. He says to the sannyasi, can you give me sannyasam? He said. So sannyasi said, why? Why do you want sannyasam? He said, I am a grihastha now. I got my wife, I got my children, family and all that. I thought if I take sannyas, at least I can get freed from all that things, he said. He says, what difference will it make for you? He said. Now you are thinking you are a grihastha. You are thinking I got my wife, I got my children, everything. If I give you sannyasam, I will give you this saffron dhoti and a danda in the hand. You will take that and you will think you are a sannyasi then, after that. In grihastha stage, you are in the bodily concept of life. In the sannyasi state also, you are in the bodily concept of life. So what benefit are you going to get from this? He answered back. He didn't give him sannyasam. He said, it's useless. No realization, nothing. Absolutely no realization. But in front of the world, I am a sannyasi. What's the good? Because there is no realization. What's the point? So attached to material life, so attached to wealth, so attached to followers, so attached to so many things. Where is the sannyasi state what Krishna is talking about here? Where is that? So this is the important point to remember, that Krishna's words as absolute, Krishna gives you the set the standard and told us, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Knowledge is the symptom of a sannyasi. Nadu mundanam, not shaving up. Nadu shikha, not the shikha. Nadu dandam, in the hand. Nadu kashayam, the saffron clothes. But here in the world, what happens in the modern world? As soon as somebody wears all these things and comes with the danda, immediately we know, oh, he's a sannyasi, he must need something important. He must be realized, otherwise how can he be a sannyasi? And it gets worse when people have no idea about all these things, it gets into their head so much. And one day suddenly the sannyasi decides that I have to go now, and the whole thing falls. Overall, the whole thing falls at that time. And then the follower is saying that I knew that this will happen one day. I have witnessed this, how many times I don't know, that again and again and again, this kind of sannyasam and this kind of shishyas after that. So, we will hold on to Krishna's instruction, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. We won't hold on to dress. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam, nadu mundanam, nadu kashayam, nadu dandam. Nor dandam, nor kashayam, nor mundanam. Only jnanam. Nothing else. Otherwise, waste of time. So, here, what Krishna is saying here is that one, these disciples, I am saying, this is all about Kali Yuga, the specialities of Kali Yuga, all these things. The disciples are saying that, oh, if you die, what will happen to us? He's saying to the Guru. Guru says, don't worry, everything will be alright. He says, so the disciples will ask, that put you into samadhi in the body. So one guru said to the disciple, after I'm dead, take my body and put it into this place where, you know, they crush for the oil seeds. A bull will run around a circle, yeah? Put my body there along with that and let the body get crushed in that, and along with that let it become the manure for all these things. At least some benefit should come out of this body, he says. So the disciples got very upset. He didn't realize that this is what was meant. So he says to him that, but we respect you, Muru Maharaj, we make everything in the proper way. He says, so now sometimes sannyasis give all instructions how they should be, put them into samadhi after they leave the body. When sannyasis are doing like that, you can take it that sannyasi's level of realization also, where he is still thinking he is the body. So these are the things what you have to look through when you see these things. If you start thinking, oh, it's all saffron, fantastic, hundreds and thousands of disciples, big kirtan, big prasadam, big feast, everything, but all this is the level of consciousness of the person, then what use is there? So this happened, the sannyasi said to him, the disciples are careful. Some disciples also you have to look at, they are also very interesting. Disciples are saying that he was not any trouble while he was living. There's more trouble when he is dead. They're frightened about that. These are all the funniest things going on in the spiritual world of this, today's spiritual world in this world. Some people may say, I am criticizing too much. They say like that. They say, why should you should not criticize anybody. What else you are supposed to do when you see all these things going on? Are you supposed to say it, or are you supposed to say everything is wonderful, fantastic, absolutely marvelous, the whole spiritual world is marvelous that's going on. And you're supposed to say like that, isn't it? So anyway, so the disciples are also like that. This is all the once you have come to this world in a particular dhoti, you have to act in that world. Once you have said to the sage in a particular dress, you have to do that acting. You cannot do anything else. So, and that goes on in spiritual life as well. So this is what has happened. They decide that what should we do now? Guru Maharaj, big samadhi we have to build. And the building should be the Eiffel Tower in the world. That way, and they think, we have done the greatest thing. You have not understood anything what the spiritual master has told you to understand. You are busy in building buildings for him. And he has rejected all these buildings, first of all. He considered the life of spirituality as more important. And instead of taking the message from the spiritual master, this happens to everybody in spiritual life. It's always happening. It happens to Arjuna even. That a great personality comes to this world, preaches spiritual life to the every world, all rest of the world. And a lot of followers comes. And the followers have not understood the message. And they, what do? The followers create all these kind of situations. I will come to that later when we discuss Bhagavad Gita, about where Arjuna fell into this trap again. If Arjuna can fall into this trap, what chances have we got? So, these things happen. In every great personality, this has happened. They have come to give us a message. And that message is more important than all the samadhis, all the temples, all the other things what you do in this world. The message is spiritual. Spiritual message means to come to what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is telling us. Human life. Mudeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam mayanikulena navasvadeidam puman bhavadi matarel sa almaha. Krishna's egadasham words are like this. Krishna says, I gave someone a mudeham, a human body first. Mudeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham. It is a rare thing to get a human body. I given that to him. Then what else? Plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam. I have given him also a spiritual master. Who is spiritual master? Spiritual master is Krishna has come here with the message in another form, in a person's form like that. He comes here to teach us something. And I have given him everything, Krishna says. Plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam is the captain of the ship to take us out of this material existence, bodily identity. In other words, material existence means bodily identity. How to get out of this bodily identity, he has sent the spiritual master here. Spiritual master came here for that purpose. Plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam. And if somebody is working in that direction, Krishna says, mayanukulena navasvaderidam. I give the favorable wind in the form of shastram and instructions to him. Spiritual master is there, shastram is there, human body is there. All the three things I have given to him. Because if you study shastram, you won't get misguided like this. Mayanukulena navasvaderidam. Favorable wind, that is shastram. And then what happens? Puman bhavadhim natare sa atmaha. If he has not taken advantage of all these things and escaped and freed himself from the cycle of birth and death, he has not achieved anything in this world. This is Krishna's conclusions in the Ekadasha Skandam and in the Bhagavad Gita also, not much different. So, important point here is that when spiritual master comes and spiritual master teaches something, The message is important. Spiritual master is not bothered whether you have built a White House or a Whitehall or an Eiffel Tower or whatever for him. What? He has no value for all these things. He has gone beyond all these things. Your Eiffel Tower can go tomorrow. Or the terrorist attack or whatever, it can happen. Anything can happen in this world. But when we are not spiritually advanced, our mind goes in these ways. This is important thing to remember. That when we see that, but if you read the discussions that goes on among the advanced personalities, even in institutions like that, you will see these things happening very much, very much. And then what happens, all the new entrants also get affected by this, and they also think that this is spiritual life all about. Spiritual life has nothing to do all these things. The message is very clear. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is the message. And the message is straightforward. How to escape? Krishna gets pleased. The spiritual master gets pleased when one has made it. That's what pleases them. Not all the buildings you have built, not all the money you have collected, not all the visitors you have come here. That's not what pleases them. If it was like that, they would have mentioned it in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. They didn't. On the other hand, what they have stressed this point again and again, and all the examples they have given again and again, is all about self-realization. How to realize the self before losing this opportunity of human life. If you make it in this lifetime, Krishna says that's a success. Otherwise, it's all a failure. As far as Krishna is concerned. So we'll stop there now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.